This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we announced earlier that we were going to talk about a development in federal court, and this is big. This is a big development, and to cover it, I'd like to look at the WorldNet Daily article that reports on, here's their headline, Obama's Department of Justice folds in abortion protest fight, all charges dropped after five prosecutors assigned to go after pro-life advocate. So this is a great story, well reported by Jack Miner of WorldNet Daily. And so I'd like to share some of this with you, and then we'll talk through it. In a stunning courtroom development in Denver, Barack Obama's Justice Department suddenly agreed to drop all charges and claims against a sidewalk abortion counselor despite having five prosecutors assigned to the case. It is a stunning case. I mean, a Christian pro-lifer hands out literature on a sidewalk, and it's a federal case with five prosecutors assigned. You know how we used to say, don't make a federal case out of it? Well, that used to be a figure of speech. Nowadays, it's reality. This is exciting. Now, this is the defense attorney from the Thomas More Society. Thomas More, if you recall, is a Christian legal group that supports personhood. We're so thankful for them. And their attorney, Peter Breen, was interviewed by WorldNet Daily. This is exciting and a complete and total victory for our client, said Peter Breen, executive director and legal counsel with the Thomas More Society. As a part of the settlement, the government agreed to drop all charges with prejudice, meaning they could never be filed again. That with prejudice thing, I thought the government wasn't supposed to be prejudiced. With prejudice, that is against the prosecution. If it said without prejudice, that would mean it's sort of against the defendant because they could come back after the defendant again. But they're dropping all charges with prejudice. That means prejudice against the prosecution. They cannot try this again. That's good, considering that their target was a pro-life leader, pro-life activist. The agreement is an astounding capitulation by the Justice Department, which had assigned five federal prosecutors to go after Ken Scott, a pro-life advocate, for passing out information outside of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Denver. Ken Scott, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thank you, Bob, for having me here to tell about this story.
What an honor, Ken, to have you here. This is so encouraging that it's the David and Goliath story all over again. We're living in the Bible days.
Well, may God get the glory, and we just trust in him, and we try to hand out that literature to change those women's mind there, and we save a lot of babies with Joe and I and hand out blankets from our church here. People in the church make baby blankets. We give away baby blankets and then give all the literature of all the different places they can get help.
Wow.
Free help, Bob.
And so, Ken, you and your wife, Joe Scott, you guys have been going to the abortion clinic, to Planned Parenthood, for decades, 5 days a week, except for when you're traveling, and usually then it's traveling to help pro-lifers in another city fight to save innocent children from being dismembered by Planned Parenthood. So you guys are on the front lines day in and day out now for decades.
Well, some people are called to go to Africa or China or different places in the world to be missionaries. And Joe and I have been called to be missionaries here in the United States for the unborn children.
Yes. And not only have you guys saved literally hundreds of unborn children from being killed, terribly dismembered, literally having their arms and legs ripped off their bodies by Planned Parenthood abortionists, but many times the mom or even the dad, the relatives, have become Christians because they see the outpouring of love. Like you talk about church members at Denver Bible Church, and there's a number of people at the church who will go with you guys, but you guys are the most consistent and for the most number of years. I've only gone maybe, Ken, if I counted all the times I've gone to an abortion clinic, maybe 200 times. You guys go 250 times a year for decades.
Well, the Lord's called us into this ministry, and that's where the Lord wants us right now. Joe is with four children, and one of the children was saved from having an abortion. So
wow.
It's
in other
spring
words,
break.
She's spring break. She's watching four kids, and one would not have been here. One of those kids would have been killed.
Right. The girl, she's now about 5 years old. Her name's Jenniba, and Joe is with her, and everybody calls her Grandma or Auntie Joe. And this is spring break, and tomorrow there's one of the other families with one of the boys. His name's Isaiah, and she's going to be taking those. There's four children in that family, and
wow,
taking them to go do things with my grandson tomorrow, actually.
Wow,
so,
isn't that exciting?
It is exciting.
Hey, I heard you're teaching your grandson how to ski.
Well, I haven't done that in 5 years because I hurt my back, and I was going to do it this weekend, 2 days. I did it one day, got him started, and didn't want to push it any further than that. But at least I taught him the basics, and
well,
it was
our
exciting.
Boys have been snowboarding now 2 years in a row. They go once a week. And Zachary, Michael, and Dominic, 10, 12, and 14, they're getting good at it, Ken.
Sounds great.
Cheryl and I ski. We do greens and blues. That's it. No blacks. No double black diamonds.
Well, that's exciting if you practice and can do well. I got my grandson on a couple of blues yesterday, and it was the very first day. So it shows you how far he got advanced and everything.
How
that was
old
great.
Is he?
He's 10. His name's Roman.
Roman, that's right. Okay, great. So, Ken, you said that some of the Christian pro-lifers around us, some at our church, actually make baby blankets, and you guys will share those, give those to moms who decide to save their child's life.
That's correct, Bob. You know, we only count the women that tell us they're definitely going to keep their child. I mean, if it's just...
We call that a confirmed save.
Ed Belay says, did you get their Social Security number to know for sure?
Right.
And then when they tell us, we say, can you pull over off to the side here and can we give you some gifts? And it starts off with a baby blanket. And then we show them all the different places they can get free ultrasound, free pregnancy tests.
Your wife, Jo, has given many of the moms a silver dollar.
Right. There's a church in Longmont that has a ministry that's been giving some silver dollars to Jo to give out when people change their mind. And we know for sure they've changed their mind.
Mm-hmm. And she shares with them a beautiful picture that this is precious, and I want you to save this for your child and remind him that he is precious because he's made in God's image and that God loves him. Jesus Christ died for him. So it's a beautiful testimony that goes with the silver dollar.
That's the whole thing, is to try to have a testimony and tell him about Jesus Christ at the same time.
Some Christians say, well, we shouldn't be there to protect children from being dismembered. We should just be sharing the gospel. But Ken, in my experience, generally, pro-life activists share the gospel way more frequently than typical Christians, including the Christians who would criticize them for being there to save a mother and save the baby. In the Bible, God speaks of this frequently, of injustice and how he wants his people to stand up against injustice and rescue those being drawn toward death. So this is a Christian ministry. It's an aspect of the gospel that God made us in his image and his likeness, and we're disobeying him and we're facing the wrath of God if we reject him and reject his word.
Right. And in Proverbs 31, God says, speak for those that can't speak for themselves, that are being innocently led to the slaughter. Mm. And this is where people are going in and in a short while are going to end up killing their child. And we're trying to say, wake up. You'll never forget this for the rest of your life. Please let us help you.
Yeah.
And we're begging for them to not kill their child.
So, Ken, it is such an honor. It's so thrilling to know you, to be counted as your friend. Here's this big story with the Barack Obama's Department of Justice faulting against the shepherd boy, David, against Goliath.
Well, it's
and
privilege.
Once again, David wins. So I'd like to continue through the story.
Sure.
Let's talk through it. Last June, Scott was charged by the Department of Justice for violating the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which creates an 8-foot floating bubble around anyone within 100 feet of the entrance of an abortion facility. So that's a really weird, quirky law that shows that obviously they're doing something strange. They're trying to protect child killers. But when they say that you were charged with violating the FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances, that's not quite exactly right, because then they'd have had a higher burden of proof. And Jack Miner, he goes on to explain that this was a civil lawsuit. In a civil lawsuit, there's a lower burden of proof.
Correct.
So you didn't violate it. If you violated it, they would have charged you with violating it. It would have been a criminal charge.
And what they've tried to do around the country, there's another probably seven of these cases going on to scare pro-lifers off. And that's why we had to win this for the other people.
Yeah.
But what they do out there is they go and tell, there's a woman in Florida, Susan Pine. In her case, they told her automatically, we're going to charge you with this civil suit.
Yeah.
And if we find you guilty, we can turn around and take you for criminal charges under a felony against FACE.
Right, exactly. And WorldNet Daily gets into her story, and the U.S. District Judge there, he rebuked the Obama Justice Department for setting up this woman.
Right.
So let's continue that. I'd love to keep going through the story. The government claimed that Scott routinely stood in the driveway of the clinic and created, quote, a physical obstruction and unreasonable hazard, unquote, for cars entering the facility. Now, Ken, I don't have to know anything to know that that's not true, because if you ever did that one time, you would have been arrested then and there on the spot.
That's correct, Bob. They had 10 different videos that were over a 2.5-year period that they had to take out of the archives to try to make a case and intimidate us.
So they videotape hours every day, 5 days a week.
Correct.
And if anything, you know, mark the tape, mark the tape. If anything interesting happens, they'll mark the tape. It's pretty hard to defend yourself for something they say, well, 23 months ago, you did this. It's like, I did. Why didn't you charge me with something? So they had 10 times over 2.5 years. So that means you had been there for about 700 times. And this is the worst 10 instances that they can get on all their fancy video recording.
That's correct, Bob. And in all those cases, they never once called the police to try to make a complaint out of it.
Right, because there was no
regular crime.
Yeah.
But they're using the FACE case, which used to be where people were blocking in front of the abortion clinics to block the doors. That was the original thing.
Nobody would ever do that.
Well, in the past they did, and then Bill Clinton.
Who would do that? Name one person.
Well,
name
there's
two
a lot
people.
Of us. A lot of us that
oh,
have,
you would
Bob.
Do that?
Yes, Bob, and you did that too, along with many others.
I never did such a thing.
Well,
that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
No, I guess I did, right? And you did too. You've done that. I've done that. It's true, Ken. Tens of thousands of Christians have gone to abortion clinics and sat in front of the doors, kneeled and prayed, worshiped the Lord, and saved the lives of thousands of innocent children who were not killed during these rescues way back during the 80s and 90s.
Correct, Bob. And Bill Clinton and Ted Kennedy came up with this FACE law to try to prevent people from sitting down and praying and stopping people from going in.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it a felony. Now, if they were to do that with any other organization like PETA or anybody that's picketing for the nuclear weapons and all that stuff or Save the Trees,
yeah, right.
They do nothing to them, but they want to charge us with nonviolent felonies.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me continue with the story, WorldNet Daily. It's so interesting. Your attorney, Peter Breen, said it was apparent from the beginning that the government did not have a case. When you watch the video, Ken was standing on the side of the road, and if people want to come over to talk and receive literature about abortion alternatives, they are free to do so. He was in no way blocking people from entering or exiting the facility. Now, Ken Scott, that's not just your attorney saying that. The judge said that in your case.
Yes, Bob. Well, he saw the videos. There were 10 instances they were trying to charge me on. All he wanted was one to stick. But the whole thing is,
I remember when the prosecutor said, Judge, you saw Ken Scott blocking those cars.
Yes,
and
Bob.
What did he say?
The judge said, show me. I never saw one of those things happen in front of the cars in any of those videos. But what he saw was I would hand out the literature. People would roll down their window, and as they were driving in, they'd pause and stop. I'd give it to them, and then I'd tell them a little bit. And if they wanted to hear more information for where they could get free help, they would respond and try asking me questions. Mm-hmm. And then a Planned Parenthood employee would drive up behind, and they might be delayed by 10 seconds or 30 seconds.
Seconds, right. At the most, a half a minute, because someone else, a driver, presumably one of their own customers,
yes, Bob,
is going into their parking lot and wanted some information.
It's giving them a real choice instead of thinking about going in and having an abortion. And that's how we talk women out of it, to plant the seed, give them the literature, show them where we can get them free help.
Right. And these are supposed to be the beautiful people, the liberals who believe in free speech, tolerance, diversity. Boy, they're not very tolerant of their own customers going in and stopping for a few seconds for the exercise of free speech to get a pamphlet. They'd put you in jail for that if they could. So let's continue. It was in January when U.S. District Court Judge Philip Brimmer dismissed 10 motions made by federal prosecutors, including one that would have barred Scott from being within 25 feet of the entrance to the parking lot of the clinic. Ken, back when that happened, we celebrated.
Yes, Bob.
You and I did a show on that victory.
Yes, Bob.
And we never uploaded it to our archive at kgov.com because it was an ongoing case. Now that you've won your case, could you give me permission to go ahead and upload that to our archives?
Yes, Bob. You have permission.
All right. That's exciting. All right. Well, thank you. So Breen said the dismissals, your attorney, spelled the beginning of the end for the government's case. Prior to this, we took 17 depositions, and after the motions were dismissed, there was very little evidence left for the prosecution to use against Scott. So how did those depositions go?
Well, basically, first off, I have an attorney here locally. Her name is Rebecca Messel.
And she's a hero. She's a fighter.
Yes, she has just done a wonderful job, and she's the one that pushed for all these depositions. Peter came in from Chicago from the Thomas More Society to help with it when we got into the middle of the depositions. But she questioned 10 of these people that were witnesses for myself to show that there was something there mm-hmm. to prove that I was innocent on these different occasions. We had one abortionist, his name is Reed Goodman, that said I had done all these things and blocked him. And she asked him, where is the video? Did you report it to the police and all these things? And he never came forth in the trial because he never reported anything. He never had a video.
He said in the deposition, which you're supposed to be honest at all times,
correct,
especially if you're making an accusation against your neighbor. God says, this is one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Well, these people,
we call it perjury.
Yeah, these people want to protect the abortion industry. They want to intimidate. Yeah. They want to lie.
Reed Goodman is an abortionist for Planned Parenthood. He gets paid to dismember, to kill unborn children. And he said that you had blocked him, you had done all this stuff. Of course, if you did, they would have had it on their video surveillance
equipment. The police would have arrived and arrested and taken me to jail.
Immediately. So he's just lying. This has happened to me.
And he never was called to trial.
Also.
And he never came to trial to testify because there was no evidence of what he was saying.
Because he's lying. Okay, so any other deposition that stands out as interesting?
Well, we had Leslie Durgan, one of the vice presidents of Planned Parenthood.
Of the Rocky Mountains.
And her department is fundraising. So she's raising money for Planned Parenthood. And she said she was blocked and feared. And obviously, the judge looked at the video, saw nothing there. The other interesting one is the head of the security for the whole Rocky Mountain region is Mike Wagner. And Mike Wagner came in after somebody had pulled on the left side where I was across the driveway. He pulls up behind where he could have gone around.
Yeah, he could have just gone in if he wanted to.
But he stopped right behind the car, beeped his horn a bunch, and after 10 seconds in the video, you could see the car goes forward and he goes forward. At trial, he testified that he was scared for his life.
Afraid for his life. Isn't he a former U.S. military guy, former law enforcement, police?
That's correct. Joe wrote an article, and he was afraid that he might get a paper cut from a piece of paper going by. But he carries a gun. He carries a gun with him, too, Bob.
He carries a gun. So the judge called his bluff.
That's correct.
And the judge said, you're not afraid for your life. What are you talking about? I'm putting my own words in the judge's mouth.
That's true, Bob.
But he called his bluff.
Yes, he did.
So you guys took depositions of your own witnesses and of the Planned Parenthood child killers.
Right. We brought in two women. One of the ones that Joe is with tomorrow That woman came in and testified, if it hadn't have been for myself and Joe being there, she would have killed her child. Another one that brought in, and she had a four-year-old with her. Her name is Bennett, and she came and testified and said to the judge and to the people in this courtroom, if Ken Scott wasn't there, you can see my four-year-old daughter would not be alive today, and I have to thank him over and over again.
Praise God. Ken, that is just so exciting. So let me continue with this story. This was never a meritorious case, your defense attorney said, and this should have been done sooner, dropping the charges, but we are glad to see the government admit they did not have a case by their decision to drop the charges. This is a total victory for Ken Scott and those who believe in freedom of speech. That's great. A possible reason for the government dropping the charges, this is according to WorldNet Daily, was to avoid paying attorney fees. Breen said the organization, and that's Thomas More Society, had spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight the case, and as part of the conclusion of the case, both sides were responsible for their own attorney fees. And so that's true, right? They're not going to go after attorney's fees.
This judge, this magistrate we went in to talk with afterwards, he says this is the first time he's ever seen where the government was willing to drop the case this fast afterwards. And it was based partly on that Thomas More Society agreed that they would not go ahead and go after the attorney fees.
Right. Which they
should have.
Which they deserve.
Right.
But it's fine. Now you're able to continue with your ministry without this threat. And other pro-lifers don't have as much of a threat that the federal government is going to come after them under color of law and use their clout of the federal Justice Department unfairly against them.
That's the purpose of this. They wanted to be able to go help all the other pro-lifers that the federal government's trying to bully and intimidate and scare. At this point, it'll show that they now have a way of protection because they've won this case. And
Amen.
That's what they wanted, this victory.
And WorldNet Daily points out that the Obama administration has engaged in a pattern of action against pro-life protesters, but they've recently been hit with a series of setbacks. In January, a case similar to Ken Scott's involving a Florida woman was dismissed by a federal judge who said the government appears to have colluded with the abortion clinic. No, say it isn't so. U.S. District Judge Kenneth L. Riskamp said in a decision granting summary judgment for Mary Susan Pine, quote, I want to quote the judge, Ken. This is a good one.
Okay, it is very good.
It is rather curious that the Department of Justice was able to meet with the Presidential Women's Center in West Palm Beach, Florida, with their staff and police officers the very next day after the alleged violations occurred. In other words, it was a setup. It is also curious that the government failed to make any efforts to obtain the identities of the passengers who are the alleged victims in this case. Ken, typically it's the abortion clinic employees and their volunteer activists who pretend to be patients.
Yes, and this is probably what took place because they had no records of anyone, if that person went into the abortion clinic and who they were.
Right.
And they were supposed to build a case on this, and there was no case.
So the federal judge says, it's curious the government failed to obtain the identities of the alleged victims. The court finds it hard to believe that the government was completely unaware of the existence of the sign-in sheets and video surveillance system. This is the kind of scam we put up with all the time, right?
That's with very true.
The Denver Police Department and Planned Parenthood and the court system. The court can only wonder whether this action was the product of a concerted effort between the government and the abortion clinic, which began well before the date of the incident at issue, to quell Ms. Pine's activities rather than to vindicate the rights of those allegedly aggrieved by Ms. Pine's conduct.
What's been taking place that we've been seeing is Eric Holder has been going all over the country to these abortion clinics and trying to find anything. It's
Obama's
like, give us some
U.S. Attorney General.
Right, so that they can already have everybody know prepared. Give us some evidence and we'll bring a face case against anyone we can intimidate, especially people that aren't willing to fight the battle, and they take a plea bargain and get out.
And Ken, you know how obviously we despise Barack Obama because he's a child killer and he
supports everything like that,
the gospel, and persecutes Christians. And we pray for his soul that he repent and trust in Christ. But the Bush administration was different, but not a lot different. I remember we were protesting in Wichita, Kansas, and the U.S. Attorney General filed a friend of the court brief on behalf of George Tiller and the abortionists in Wichita to try to keep us off the public sidewalks at their abortion clinics. So the Republicans are similar to the Democrats in destroying our ability to protect innocent
children.
Very
true, Bob.
Yeah.
There's not much difference. Just now it's a little more aggressive.
Just a little bit,
yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's continue. Ken Scott and his wife, Jo, this is WorldNet Daily, have a long history with the Planned Parenthood of the Rocky Mountains facility in Denver. In 2008, Jo was convicted of violating the state's first-in-the-nation bubble law after a pair of Planned Parenthood employees pretending to be patients recorded her moving within 8 feet of them.
And Bob, this was told at the trial that they were employees. They had recorders on everything. It was all pre-planned setup. And afterwards, after Jo, they found her guilty. And the judge was biased for Planned Parenthood, of course.
No.
They put an article in the Westward magazine telling how they could catch a creep named Jo with a bubble law. And they told
right.
their plans like it was all
right.
pre-planned again.
Right. It was entrapment. It wasn't an actual anything. It was employees recording. The whole
walk
law
up the
is
sidewalk.
A scam anyway,
up,
the bubble law.
Walk up the sidewalk. They had two different couples. One was, Jo was past the 8 foot. The other one was very close. And as it turns out, they lied to say that she was like 7.5 feet away
right.
from them instead of the 8 feet
and
to break
fact,
the bubble law.
The government has a scientist who teaches telemetry and satellite imaging. He's taught these courses at a university for 20 years. And he was an expert witness on behalf of you guys. But let's continue. So, Ken, your attorney pointed out if the attorney general was successful, it would shut down the free flow of information to women considering killing their children, abortion. And that, of course, would be a horror. And so the decision by the Obama Justice Department to prosecute Scott, according to WorldNet Daily, is part of an ongoing pattern of actions by the administration against pro-life protesters. Under Obama's administration, at least six pro-life supporters have been charged under the law compared to only one under President Bush. It's just a different order of magnitude. The move reflects Obama's ardent pro-abortion position. When a senator in Illinois, Barack Obama, opposed the bill that would have given infants born alive after a botched abortion the right to life-sustaining medical treatment, of course, he voted against that, and he has 100% pro-abortion rating.
The thing is, with Barack Obama, he's definitely on agenda to help Planned Parenthood. You can see that when he wanted Obamacare, there was a lot of people that were hired at Planned Parenthood. There's always a lot of people
and
coming and going.
We're out of time, Ken. But George W. Bush gave Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars more than Bill Clinton had in 8 years. So it's a crisis with both parties. Ken, you have another case coming up, oral arguments. This is a big deal. Let's invite the audience to join us.
Yes, this will be at the University of Denver Law School, and it's on April 4th, next Wednesday. And Thomas More Society is helping on this again. And Tom Brekka, the head of it, is flying in to be part of this to help Rebecca Messel to try to help give us our rights to be on the sidewalk outside of St. John's Episcopal Church. They've given an injunction, made up a lot of fabrications, and this has been an ongoing case.
So University of Denver. So this is before the Colorado Appeals Court, right? State Appeals Court?
Yes, and this will be three panels of judges, and it's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with 150 law students there and the professors watching how this proceeds.
So I think you need a reservation to go. So somebody could call us, and we'll make sure that they'll be able to get in.
I think some people can. When there's a certain amount, then you have to have a position.
So it'll be open to the public somewhat.
It's open to the public.
But if somebody wants to join us 4 o'clock April 4th, they should call. God bless you, Ken Scott.
This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.